This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Sunday evening service of December the 30th, 2001. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Chris Simpson of Pasadena, Texas is the speaker of the evening.
These last things, you're going to be deceived by this Antichrist spirit.
Amen.
Huh?
We become the bad guy.
I'm telling you, it's scary. The level of darkness and wickedness, and it's subtle. Because on the surface, look, God's given us a Christian president. Who would have thought of born again? Jesus-loving, humble president. I really am convinced this is his last exercise of mercy to our country.
Yes.
This man. Thank God for that. And you need to pray for him, because then under the seams of our country, there is a wicked darkness. Sweet. Just because George W. is up there, thank God, and things are going well for our country, man, the spirit of Antichrist is very much at work. I think it's just God's mercy to try to, but there's something's got to wake us up. Do they have those occult things in your books of millionaire?
Oh, no, I don't believe it.
You know, it's really interesting. Go to the Toys R Us. Y'all have one of those? Toys R Us? Huh? Went there, you know, for, man, the occult toys. Unbelievable. I mean, just, anyway. I remember when this New Age stuff just first started. My Constance Cummings book back in 84, remember? Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and then Dave Hunt came out with his book. We would just learn about this back in the early 80s, you know? And we would be so shocked. And I got to thinking, it is so widespread now, I can't even comprehend it anymore. It's just grown so massive, I just do my little thing. How do I get into that? I just, where are we at, 2 Kings 5? I see it come into my church, man. I get mad, and we have to live. And we get those things out. Those snakes. We have a snake stomping time. You ever do that? Awesome. Just stomp snakes. Crush those things. Get them out of the house. Hallelujah. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance to Syria. He was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. See, Naaman had everything going for him except one small minor detail. He was a captain of the Lord of hosts. He had great deliverance. The only negative thing was he was a leper. Kind of a bummer, man. Leper. Leprosy. So they had captured, the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of Israel a little girl. And she waited on Naaman's wife. One day the little girl said to her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet in Samaria. He'd recover him of the leprosy." So this Israelite slave girl let Naaman and his wife know there was a way he could get healed. Leprosy. My suspicion is it was still kind of in the closet in leprosy. You know what I mean? It really hadn't come out yet. Hadn't really manifested, huh? Kind of low-grade leprosy. I don't know. I don't know, but he still got his job and he's a leper. Usually, but anyway, in verse 4, "And so one went in and told his Lord, said, thus and thus said the maid that's in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment." Wow. "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter's come to you, behold, I have wherewith sent Naaman, my servant, that you may recover him his leprosy." Now, the king of Syria really wanted this guy healed. Apparently he was a really good general. He did not want to lose him. He was going to lose him. But something got lost in translation, because when he came up to the king of Syria, he thought the king of Israel was the one who was going to heal. So he sent all this gold and stuff. Says, so you can recover my man from leprosy. So look what happens in verse 7. Kind of freaked out the king of Israel. He said, it came to pass when the king of Israel read these letters, he rent his clothes. He says, am I God? To kill and make alive that he sent this man for me to recover his leprosy? Look, I think he's seeking a quarrel against me. He thought of some trick to start a war. I wrote here, they're just as trigger happy today as then, huh? This is the Mideast we're talking, okay? Just as suspicious, just as, you know. But finally this affair came to Elisha's ears, okay, the prophet Elisha. So verse 8. And when Elisha, the man of God, heard how the king of Israel rent his clothes, he said to the king, look, why do you rent your clothes? Let the man come to me, and he'll know there's a prophet in his. I'm sure the king of Israel was glad. He did not know how to heal leprosy. So go to the prophet. So Naaman heads on down the road with his entourage. Verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now I want you to consider this picture, man. Here's the captain of the host of Syria. Now, he's in Israel, so you know he's going to be bedecked with his finest, just to show those Israelites that we are Syrians, you know. And probably in regal splendor, he had all kind of his medals on, decked chariots, resplendent horses. He had an entourage of servants and assistants, you know. And this big, you know, group of men with the Naaman at the front comes tromping down to this little muddy Israelite town, and they're standing in front of this little hut where the prophet lived, little hut. And I'm sure at that point, all the little Israelite neighbors were coming out, running out of their houses and looking, look, kids looking, look, who's that great man? He's here, look, all these people are watching and gawking, you know, and here's Naaman up on his horse, and here's the little hut, and he's probably thinking, why am I here? Verse 10. Now Elisha, sitting in his hut, sent a messenger and said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to you, and you shall be clean. Now, I want to tell you, Elisha, I like to study Elisha. I've done a lot of series on Elisha. And I like him because Elisha had this incredible intimacy with his Lord. Elijah did, but Elisha had twice it. Everything Elisha had double. Amen? So I like to study Elisha. He had this ability and intimacy of discernment with the Lord. He was up close with God. And he was more interested in what God thought than what man thought. He really was. And he knew one thing that is really important in healing. He knew the only way he could ever see a healing or miracle come to pass is that he would have to do what God said. It wasn't anything in him. He knew it was the Lord. And he had to do what the Lord said to heal. Can you hear an amen?
Amen.
By the way, that's the only way any of us can pray and see healing. Is we're waiting on that rhema, that quickened word. You know, he sent his word and healed them. It's not our great, you know, yelling real loud and straining our face. I mean, that doesn't do it. You need the anointing. And apparently, while he was sitting in his hut, he discerned pride on Naaman. It was probably obvious if you looked at him, but he was in his hut. He didn't even go outside. He was inside, and he could feel it in his spirit. I believe when you're close to the Lord, you can discern things without seeing them in the night. You can discern. You know what I mean? He that is spiritual discerns all things, but he's not discerned of any man. God wants us to walk in discernment. What discernment means to see through. To read somebody's mail. And that's one thing I love about this ministry. It's such a blessing. Also, it can be a curse at times. That's why Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, because he discerned everything. That made him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. If you discerned everything, you'd be, you know, constant fasting and prayer, and that God keeps us ignorant for a reason, so we can survive. We don't have a clue how bad it really is, but for the mercy of Jesus. And he discerned something. And he was probably grieved sitting in that hut as Naaman was heading over. And he was just praying, and he was talking to God. He said, oh boy, this guy's got leprosy, and you want me to pray for him? And I told him, he'll know there's a prophet in Israel. Lord, come. And I'm certain that Elisha prayed to Jehovah before Naaman showed up. I'm certain he had a relationship. He's talking to God about this healing event coming up. That's what I've learned. When someone asks me to come, I get really freaked out when people say, would you come and pray for someone? It scares me because they have expectations. You know? And I always go, what if it doesn't happen? Because I can't do it. Yeah. So I like to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you're going to have to go with me, man. You're going to have to be there. Amen? I need to hear you. And that's the only way to minister. Let's go to Jesus in humility and say, help, help. By the way, the greatest theological prayer you can ever pray. You want to hear it? Help! God resists the proud, but what? Always. Stay humble. That was the problem with Asa, wasn't it? He got sufficient in himself later. Thought he could handle it. So, he all of a sudden discerned something. And I felt the Holy Spirit, the Lord probably told Elisha, he's got pride all over him, and he's expecting you to do all these theatrics and stuff, so just send a messenger out with a simple word to go dip in Jordan 7 times. So he'd be baptized in the Jordan. He was the first one to get baptized in the Jordan. Yeah. 7 times. He'd be healed. So he sent a messenger out. Didn't even bother to look out the door. Now what's interesting, I want you to hear this, is God knew that until Naaman's pride manifested, he'd never see it or own it. The real leprosy was what? I believe it was his pride. The real issue was his pride. See, leprosy is terrible, but there was a deeper curse. There was a deeper sickness in his soul that could affect his eternity. And God knew it needed to manifest. So a lowly servant walked out the door, just said, Prophet Naaman said, go to Jordan, dip 7 times, you'll be healed. Bye. Click. Went back in. And I'm certain maybe some of the neighbors kind of laughed. You know, kind of giggling over there. And so he's sitting on his horse, and I mean, the prophet doesn't even come out. So verse 11. And Naaman was wroth. And went away. And he said, behold, ah, God, you'll surely come out to me and stand and call the name of God and wave his hand all over the place to recover leprosy. I like this. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than these little creeks of Israel? May I not wash in there? See the grease? He turned away in a rage. He was full of rage. How dare you? Taking his horse away with his leprosy. I believe Naaman had all these preconceived notions of what this healing session was going to involve. A lot of people that come in for ministry, they have preconceived notions of what's going to happen. When somebody's coming in for a session of deliverance, I always tell them, please lay down all your preconceived notions because the Holy Ghost may do something you're not expecting. Like confront you about something you don't want to look at. And you ain't ever going to get deliverance until you look at it right down the barrel and deal with it. But he was insulted. His pride was hurt. I mean, with all those people standing around him. And surely he, the great Syrian captain, at least deserved some kind of theatrics. You know, did you see what else came up in him? What else came up in Naaman? Not just pride and self-rejection, but there was something else came up. Now pick it. I'm seeing if anybody can discern it. There's something else came up in him. It's in his words. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What else came up in Naaman? No? Judgment against Israel. He thought their rivers were lowly. Not good enough for him. See that? See that? That resentment against Israel? And bitterness against Israel? That kind of judgment against the rivers of Israel? My rivers are better than your rivers. So all this came up. The anger, the rage, the self-righteousness, and then in judgment against Israel. The very place he was, now listen to this, the very place he was going to get a healing from, he judged. Now, I'm going to tell you, that happens a lot in deliverance. I've had people come and get ministry, but in their heart they're judging me. And they want it on their terms. They want it on their terms. Well, we do personal ministry. We also do public ministry. But it's an attitude. It's an attitude. It's a subtle thing. And that's one of the reasons I've learned to they may need to jump through hoops. You know, I need to see. And the major way I do it is I simply say, we're not a deliverance ministry. We're a discipleship ministry that moves and delivers. We're into discipleship. That's what Christ said. Go and make disciples. He didn't say go and do deliverance. He said go make disciples. Deliverance is a part of that. So it's teaching. Amen? So it's a lot of other issues. So let's talk about your discipling needs. And that's the only ones that stay delivered anyway. Are they disciples? If someone's not a disciple, and all a disciple means is one who's willing to have discipline. And put discipline in your life. That's what's going to keep you free. So, now listen. All of this junk coming up in Naaman. Listen, this was spiritual pus. Excuse me, that's an ugly word. Covering his disease. This was like an infection, a spiritual infection over the physical problem. And it had to come up. Had to be exposed. You know, an infection, you have to open it up and let all that junk come up. So you can get down to the root. It had to come up, be exposed. I'm sure you've had this happen, those of you who've prayed for folks. But a lot of times when you pray for healing, nothing happens. Amen? You can pray up and down, fast and pray, and nothing happens. And so we may get, and sometimes the people may get mad or judgmental or hurt and walk away from the fountain of life because it doesn't happen to be flowing in their direction at that point. But ironically, a lot of times people's attitude that comes up when they don't receive an instant healing, a lot of the times, ironically, that could be the very reason they're still sick. The very thing that comes up. The very resentment. The very angry. The very want to control. That could be the very thing that opened the door to the sickness. So, I think in every ministry of healing, you need to be willing to minister and deliver. Amen? Are y'all with me out there?
Yes.
You know what it took to help Naaman? It took somebody willing to speak into his life. To snap. Verse 13. And one of his servants came here and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, Wouldn't you have done that? Kind of stroked him a little bit, you know. Well, how much rather, you know, to wash and be clean. This was called a word of wisdom. This was called routing around the demon. Somebody asked me tonight, we were talking, they said, what do you do when a demon is manifesting at you? You know, somebody just, and this happened to me recently, just totally standing there, just spewing slime at you. You're this, and you're that, and you're this, and you're that, and just slime and judgment and accusation. And you're standing there. What do? Well, you rebuke. Well, if you do that, they may throw something at you. You don't rebuke a manifesting demon. That's, you know what you do? Love covers the multitude of sins. You route around the demon. You confuse the demon. Love confuses demons. You know, someone's railing at you. Just, you sit there and you say, Lord, how can I love them? And there was a situation I shared at dinner where this person was just going on and just railing on me, and I had been helping this person out financially recently. So in the middle of their stealing against my character, I said, oh, by the way, when is that, just interrupt this, when is that bill due? Because I want to write you a check. And they went, because it meant money, you know. The demon went down. Oh, well, it's next week. I said, okay, I'm going to write you a check. I mean, the demon just went down. Amen? I went and wrote him a check, gave it to him. I said, where were you? Praise God. Huh? You route around the demon. What's that? There's a verse that talks about this. Hang on. It says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if perhaps God will give them repentance of acknowledging the truth. Meekness and lowliness. Someone passing you. The only way you're going to help is to be meek and lowly. You don't have to receive the slime, by the way. I find out when people slime you with all this stuff, the dead doesn't come in love. I don't receive it. I ask the Lord to put a shield up. He's a shield around me. But you pray for wisdom. Boy, if you react back in the flesh, what happens? If you react back in the flesh, and I'm sure none of y'all have ever done that. You say, speaking with your spouse, what you, we all turn like 9-year-olds, amen, at times. And, well, the demon in the other person goes, see, and it justifies the demon. And then you're in a hole, because then you got to go back and humble yourself a bit. Amen? Anyway, I was crying out to Jesus the other day, oh, Lord, teach me how not to react. Amen? Teach me that one strikes me on the face, I can turn the other cheek. You know? When one takes away something, I can say, you want this too? I mean, that's the greatest spiritual warfare weapon there is. You know, where we're just really dead in Christ. You know, and it doesn't affect us. We're secure in Him. Get out of there tonight. So what happened? This is the last, one more verse after this. I'm going to close this. So Naaman got smart, verse 14. He got smart. I don't know what happened between 13 and 14. Maybe he had a pang of leprosy. Maybe his pain went, I'm here to get rid of the leprosy. He got smart. He went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And lo and behold, his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. See, listen carefully. He applied spiritual antibiotic, is that how you say it, antibiotic, to the real disease. And the physical manifestation followed. The real disease was the pride. Now, I don't know whether leprosy is a generational thing. I don't know. But all I know is it may be his pride opened the door for a disease. But when he faced the pride and was willing to humble himself, particularly to receive correction from someone, you see, mercy and grace came to him. God had been resisting him, but now the mercy came. And the physical manifestation followed. Last place, 1 Peter 5. Turn there. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. In conclusion, the teaching tonight was how pride can make you and keep you sick. Likewise, you younger, submit yourself to the elder. That's really a lot of what I was talking about tonight. Submission. Yea, and then he says, yea, all of you be subject one to another. And King James reads, be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Let's pray. Jesus, hallelujah. Just want us to pray a minute and let the Spirit of the Lord convict us tonight. Amen? Father, I pray you'd come by the Holy Ghost right now and touch each heart. In the course of this talk, I know the Holy Spirit pricks hearts. Lord, where there's been pride and maybe against an old judgment against mom or dad. Lord, if there's any ground the enemy or pride is given the enemy, Lord, have mercy tonight. Have mercy so the truth can cut and reach the inward parts and set us free from the self-deception of our soul that keeps, perhaps in some cases, the infirmity alive or the sickness viable. Lord, we ask that you pull the wiring out from under the sickness or the disease or the malady in our life or even emotional or mental. Come, Holy Spirit. Expose where the sin, pride, or the self-sufficiency, leaning on the arm of the flesh, running to anywhere but you. Come, Holy Spirit, convict. Let the Spirit of the Lord convict tonight. Now, if the Lord is convicting you, as I'm talking, you just talk to Him and confess it. That's all you got to do. It's a pretty good deal. If we confess our sin with a repentant heart, say, Lord, man, I don't want that anymore. I don't want that old attitude. I tend to react. You know, I don't have a clue how to love. I don't know how to route around demons. I react to demons and people. Just confess it to Jesus. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm clueless here. If you just confess it and say, please have mercy on me, Lord, and put truth down in my inward part that will enable me to walk in the Spirit of love and mercy. And undo the works of the devil and undo the structure behind the disease of sickness. Reverse the curse in my life, Jesus. Come on. And I pray this for myself. It all starts in humbling yourself to Jesus. It all starts in making it right and being honest with Jesus and acknowledging the fact that you're weak and He's strong and you need Him. You need His truth. You need His revelation. You need His light in the inward parts. And that you need to be desperate for Him. If the Lord's convicting you tonight about your lack of discipline, you have a haphazard prayer life. If you're not disciplined, you're not consistent, and your inconsistency has lent itself to doubts and anxieties, I encourage you to repent of that and make a commitment tonight to be disciplined, to come before the Lord. If you watch more TV than you do pray, repent. He that's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Say, Lord, forgive me. I'm not saying be legalistic and not watch that program necessarily. I'm just saying if you're going to do it, spend at least that much time with Jesus. If the notion of fasting just freaks you out, repent, man, repent. The very idea of denying yourself, something rises up. Well, that thing that's rising up, you need deliverance. Say, Lord, I want to make a commitment. Don't put some legalistic law on yourself that you resent. Just ask the Lord to lead you. Say, Lord, I want to be disciplined in prayer and fasting. You lead me, Lord. You show me. God will grant to you wisdom exactly on how to discipline according to your level of faith. God is gracious. He realizes we're all wimps, and He'll meet us where we are. He's very loving. He just wants us to move towards Him and denying that old flesh and putting it on the cross and starting to walk a holy life. Believe me, demons hate more than anything else, you to do that, to make discipleship commitments, discipline commitments of discipleship of Jesus. Confess your sin. I'm just seeing in the Spirit as I'm standing here, I just see the word worldly. It's just worldliness, and it's probably from the TV. And the Lord is speaking to people right now. He's saying, you're worldly, and you wonder why you're so anxious. Troubled like Martha. Mary has chosen that good thing. She's learned to sit in His presence. Don't believe the lie that you can't do it. And don't let your spouse or your kids or whatever keep you from doing it. You make a commitment between you and Jesus to come before Him. Ooh, Lama. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, come conviction. Go deep. Expose that deception. Satan, we expose your lies tonight. We have just taken the sword and chunked it down deep and exposing all those little subtle rationalizations and justifications of fleshly behavior. We expose you, Satan, so that those demons down there have to come to the light. And I just speak right now in the name of Jesus to those demons that I'm discerning. This light and the truth tonight is just making little things pop their head up that thought they were all secure down there. Well, we take your power tonight. Rationalization, justification for passivity. Take your hold, Satan. The lukewarm spirit of America, the materialistic seduction that rules this country. We take the power of that spirit off of us. This is not our home. We're strangers. We're passing through. Our home is in the heavens above. This is not our home. We're strangers. We're passing through. Our home is in the heavens above. Father, break that spirit that's just so pervasive in our culture. We can be disciples, light in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom we shine as lights, O Lord. Father, right now, I ask you to send angels in the spirit right now and begin to just, I'm just seeing something in the spirit while I'm standing here. Send angels with shovels or something. Dig these things out. It's some stuff that's embedded down there in the depth. Dig them out. I curse the roots. Curse in the name of Jesus. Come, Lord. I just had a flash in the spirit. I saw my mom kneeling down in front of a garden pulling out weeds. Yes. Lord, have the angels of the Lord pull out the weeds. Little subtle things, little foxes, Lord. Go in there right now, Lord, in your mercy. Expose the works of darkness. Satan, we shine light in your eyes tonight. And you back off and you loose these things. You loose the hold you have where you've deceived them and there's been compromise. Now take a deep breath. Come on. I want all these things out tonight in Jesus' name. Come on. I see you. Take your power. Come on out in Jesus' name. Take it out. Come on. Particularly subtle deceptions, subtle rationalizations and self-justifications and self-sufficiencies. Take your power. Come on. Making excuses, trying to get by, turning the grace of God into license, making excuses for yourself, not wanting to be crucified, not wanting to die, resisting denying yourself. Resisting or giving in to the impulses and demands of the flesh. I take the power of every spirit that's behind that in Jesus' name. Take your power tonight. Go. Change you to go. Come on. Out. Take a deep breath. Let these things go. Go. Take your power tonight. Come on. Out in Jesus' name. Leave them. Leave the saints tonight in Jesus' name. Come on. Father, just send shovels in there. Dig these things up. There's just a bunch of roots underneath the surface. Take your power. Come on. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out of the saints. Go. Father, I know we need light from God to take charge of our flesh. We need light from heaven to actually overcome the desires of the flesh. And I pray for a searing light from heaven to burn and convince us there's no better way to live. It is the greatest way to live is to put the boot on the old man, to put the boot on the flesh, to take authority in the spirit, to discipline ourselves in the spirit. And I take those lying demons that seduce us and con us. Come on. Every little spirit, come on, take a deep breath. Let them out today. Let them out. In Jesus' name. Come on. You will get delivered tonight to the degree that you humbled yourself to Jesus and made commitments. That's to the degree in which you'll get delivered. Because that's the degree in which the demons lost the hook. That was where you made that commitment to Jesus. Amen? More, Lord. More, Holy Spirit. Come. Deeper, Lord. Go down the roots. The inner leprosy, Lord. Pride and self-will and survival. You know, man's greatest instinct in the world, the greatest instinct is self-survival. And that's what our flesh will do anything to survive. And that's got to go to the cross. That's got to die. And if you don't put it on the cross, believe me, God will keep grinding you until the point where you're miserable. So, man, just throw it. Throw it down and say, Jesus, I give up fighting you. I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to quit allowing all this worldly junk to come into my mind and eyes. Because you're kidding yourself if you think you can have peace and let that junk come in. I'm not a legalist. I tell people this is what I've done in my life. I got rid of the TV set. We still watch, we have a VCR and people, my kids and my wife still watch movies once in a while. But I tell people you don't have to get rid of it. You do what Jesus tells you to do. I just learned I got to do it because I want to stay free. You know? And someone else feels like they can have moderate levels of things. I say, fine, praise the Lord. I mean, it's between you and the Lord. But the point is, be aware of the wickedness. Amen? Be aware of the evil. If you got that kind of thing in your house. Be aware. Don't be a legalist. Because if you start taking it as a law, you'll get better. Amen? And you'll sneak off and do something else. So don't take a law. It's grace. But, oh, Jesus. Come on. Let's everybody stand. Oh, la basita, I want you. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on, take a deep breath. Come on, come on. Every spirit out, out tonight. Out, come on. Every demon that the Holy Ghost has put his finger on, I command you to go. I take your power in this room. I command you to leave now. Every demon in this place that the Holy Ghost has put his finger on, I command you to go now. Take your power in this place. Come on, come on. Now, now, in Jesus' name. So God can accomplish what he wants to accomplish in this room tonight. Go. Take your power. Come on. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on, take a deep breath. All the way to deep, all the way from the bottom. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Look to Jesus right now.
Hallelujah to the Lord.
Let's worship.
Sing hallelujah to the Lord. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Come with your power and grace.
Come with your power and with your grace.
Come on, sing out.
Come with your power and with your grace. Come with your power. Come with your power. Come with your power and your grace. Jesus is Lord and King. Jesus is Lord and King. Jesus is Lord and King. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia.
What I ask right now is to send a healing anointing. Come, Spirit of healing. Come, Spirit of God. Loose healing grace. Touch, release. Father, I pray in your mercy. As these have been willing to dip themselves 7 times into the waters of your mercy and humility, Jesus, now, come. Heal in ways we don't even understand. Come. Every place where the demonic hell, Father, let the Spirit of the Lord flow now. Come, oil. Come, oil of God. Come, oil of God, right now. Flow. Come, healing. Healing grace, healing anointing, healing blessing. Just stand there and say, yes, Lord. Whatever your healing need is, wherever on your body, just say, yes, Lord, bring it. Bring the oil. Just ask the Lord to send the oil right there. Some internal organ. Maybe you have headaches a lot, stiff necks, you know. Maybe you have shoulder problems. There may be cancer in your family and you're afraid of cancer coming up, you know, or premature death. Whatever, just hold it up to Jesus. Say, oh, Lord, send the oil. Right now, come on. Send the oil right on that, right on that. There's a window here. There's a window. Receive from the window right now. Just tell him what your healing need is. He wants to heal you. Flow, flow, oil from heaven. Flow. Flow now. In your mercy, flow. Now, right now, in your mercy, Jesus. For you would cast out demons and heal the sick. And I know you want to heal tonight just as much as you wanted to deliver. Oh, touch, Lord. Spleens, Lord. Touch. Touch, Lord. Touch those internal organs tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, I see in the right now, I see an ulcer in a stomach. Lord, I ask you right now, just pour the Spirit of the Lord and dissolve that ulcer, Lord. Lord, as they're dealing with the issues that have brought it on, come, heal. Heal in Jesus' name. Heal. Stiff joints, come on. In the joints, Lord. Oil in the joints and stiffness. Arthritic stiffness. Come, Lord, right now. Oil. Pour the oil right now, Lord. The muscles. Oh, la masita la. Up and down the neck. Come right now. In the name of Jesus. I ask you just to flow the oil up. The crown of the head, just to flow down the neck right now. Come. Under the shoulder blades. On the back. Father, I pray for oil just up and down the spine right now in Jesus' name. Heal, Lord. Lord, where there's degenerated discs, Lord, where there's any wearing of discs, Father, I pray that you would replace it with golden discs. Lord, you would just heal the discs, Lord. Just restore the spine all the way from the base. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. Come all the way up to the base of the neck right there where there's headaches. In the name of Jesus, we just resist and we break off that spirit of rebellion that feeds those headaches, those migraines. Take its power in Jesus' name. Come, oil of God, right now. Just penetrate right from the base of the back of the neck now. Just penetrate grace and oil and healing it right through the brain, Lord. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. All the way to the back of the eyes where the pain is. All the way. Just all across the face and the sinus cavities. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, flow, oil, flow. Right down now through the trunk of the body in Jesus' name. Right under the heart and the lungs. Wow, let oil flow in those lungs in Jesus' name. Any residual cancers in the lungs? Any fibers of cigarette smoke that's still sitting there latent, ready to bother? We curse the latent cancer as a result of smoking. We curse, Father, we ask you to cancel the growth of that cancer in Jesus' name. Take its power, latent cancer development, particularly in the lungs. Come down the heart in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we pray for the oil of God. We just flow all over that heart and do surgery, Lord, tonight. Lord, strengthen the heart, Lord, where it's weak, Lord. Oh, strengthen it, Lord. Build it up, oh, Lord Jesus. Grant a new heart, Lord. Strengthen it, Lord. Let the Spirit of God just envelop it, Lord, and create a strong heart. That's even for the older, Lord, that it would be a young heart, Lord. That could beat many thousands, tens of millions times longer than it would have. Come, Holy Spirit. Fresh heart. Clean heart. New heart. Come, Holy Spirit, envelop that heart. I see in the Spirit like a gel pack with the heart in the middle of it. That's the Spirit of God wanting to just restore and mend and strengthen, Lord, up and through the arteries, I pray tonight, Lord. Let the Spirit of the Lord flow through the arteries. If there's any hardening or any blockages, Lord Jesus, right now I pray for cleaning out the arteries in Jesus' name. But the Holy Ghost knows how to go in there. Come, Lord, now in Jesus' name. Heal. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow. All the way down the trunk of the body, Lord Jesus, in the stomach and the intestines. Come, Holy Ghost, come in the stomach, Lord, all the intestinal organs right now in Jesus' name. Come, Lord, heal, restore in Jesus' name. Restore the years, Lord Jesus, that the canker worm, Lord, did not ask. Oh, Lord, restore it tonight. Take the power of the demons. Father, we pray, come healing tonight. Healing down in that part of our body. Lord, where there's dysfunction, Lord, where there's prostate problems, Lord Jesus, come, Holy Spirit. Come right now. Come, Holy Spirit, healing. Flow, oil. Oh, Lord, all the sexual organs, Lord Jesus, and the men and the women. Lord Jesus, come and flow. Jesus. Endometriosis. What is that, Doc? What is it?
The lining of the uterus, little bits of it.
It can cause prohibit pregnancy. Okay. I heard that word, but it's coming to my mind. Lord, I pray that you would heal that in any of the women here. Endometriosis. Lord, where there's dysfunction around the uterus, come right now. We pray the Spirit of the Lord, you would just sovereignly make it right, Lord. Come now, seal it, Lord. Bring order. You created this machine. Father, we pray for a checkup, Lord, an overhaul tonight in Jesus' name. You're the mechanic. We ask the Holy Ghost mechanic to lift up the hood tonight and tune it up in Jesus' name. Tune up the machine, Lord, from one end to the other, Lord, a 1,000-mile checkup. Do it tonight. In the hand of the Lord. Father, we pray all the way down to our feet. From our feet to our head, Holy Ghost, come and heal tonight. Let the Holy Spirit's sovereign healing flow. Lord, if we've humbled ourselves, Lord, let your healing flow. More. Yes, Lord. I'm seeing something spirit right now. I'm seeing earmuffs, only they're back on this part of the head, like an earmuff. It's like a pain, like right in here. It's pressing on there. In the name of Jesus, whatever that is, whoever that's on, in Jesus' name, lots of mind control. Loose the minds tonight. Sense in the spirit saying what it is, what's on the head, it's something that's worked its way up. As we pray for healing, something's worked its way up. It's up here. All right, come on off in Jesus' name. Lift off the head. You're not going to hide inside the skull tonight. No. Because Christ took on his skull piercings of thorns. His skull was pierced with thorns. And blood came out of his skull. And as a result of that blood, we can have a sound mind. And we can have a clear mind and healed brain. And on the basis of the blood that came out of the Savior's skull, I break the power of mind control. And I bind you to go tonight in Jesus' name. Lift up these things. Name of the Lord. For Jesus Christ shed his blood out of his skull so we could be healed. Go, devils. Take the powers of these demons out of this place. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. That was a migraine headache. It was a migraine headache thing that hit you. Just trying to hang on. More. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's just thank the Lord. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Incredible kindness and mercy to us.
Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. You worship you. Oh, my soul.
That you would seal the work now as we go and go to bed tonight and rest. Lord, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would continue to abide, and just like a healing warmth would just continue to work deeper as we rest tonight, that the Spirit of the Lord would continue to heal through the night, oh Lord. And Father, we just pray you protect and seal what you've done over each one, and put angels around each one of us. Protect our minds and our hearts to stand and receive from God. Oh, Lord, that the enemy would not pluck this away from us. Thank you. Praise you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.